Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your sweet presence, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your anointing that breaks the yoke of oppression, that brings freedom, that brings light, that opens up the way. Thank you for every heart. Thank you for every heart that tenderly rests in your hands. Just come, Holy Spirit. Just bring more refreshing, more refreshing, more filling, more overflowing. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your sweet presence. Thank you for your weighty, glorious presence. Thank you for clothing us in your wonderful, wonderful glory. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Tonight we receive you with open arms. Tonight we embrace your beautiful kisses from heaven. Tonight we just open up the doors of our heart to receive more from you. Thank you for the deposit of your word. Thank you for the beautiful massaging of the Holy Spirit that just brings us life, that revitalizes us. Just come and embrace us tonight with more and more of you. Just blow off the dust that we carry, the things that we've carried in the last while that have just rested on us. Just come and blow fresh and just bring us just a new, refreshing presence in you, a deep trust in you, to just rest in you, rest in you, rest in your wonderful, wonderful presence. I just saw these angelic beings just dancing over us tonight. And as I saw that umbrella with many colors, I just saw these ribbons of many colors that they were dancing over us with. And I just felt there was a new atmosphere, a new presence over us, a refreshing, deep understanding of his peace that rests on us. So we just receive, the dancing of your Spirit that dances over us, Holy Spirit, that touches us freely, that brings us into that place of peace with you. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
I just saw the Lord bringing new wine, fresh wine, and pouring it into new wineskins and throwing out the old. And I felt like there was a commissioning that's happening tonight. There's a commissioning. And I feel like God is saying he's bringing maturity to his bride. There are things that have in your life that have, maybe you've been praying for 10 years for it. And I saw a hot knife sliced through butter. And I felt like the Lord was saying, there's going to be a suddenly. There's going to be a suddenly, an answer to your prayers. Things you've been hoping for, things you've been waiting for a long, long time, there's going to be a suddenly. Okay, amen.
Yeah, just during worship there, I just got a picture of, you know, like when you have like water on the surface of the earth and you have like the heat from underneath starts to create that boiling of the water. And I just saw this water beginning to boil and all of this the activity going on. And then I began to see just around the water was piles of what looked like sand or whatever. And I literally just saw the angels coming from the outside and mixing it. And suddenly I just realized that's like it's what you do when guys mix concrete. They put the water in the middle and they just do that. I just felt God saying that he's just going to just start to bring a sturdiness into our faith. And with everything that's going on in the world around us at the moment, it's just like so many people just feel like they're on that boat in the midst of the storm. And they're asking Jesus just to come in and quieten the storm. And I just felt God just starting to come. He's going to build those foundations. And I just felt like, whoa, concrete, that's pretty sturdy. But I just felt like, you know, we speak about Jesus being our anchor. And I really feel we came to the Presbyterian service this morning and the other Michelle was just talking about Jesus being our anchor. And I just really feel like at the moment the world needs to have the church. Well, the church needs to be the anchor for the world as Jesus is our anchor. And I just felt he's just going to come. He's going to build that foundation and deep foundations. It's going to be that solid rock and our feet are going to be in that solid rock. And he's just like that's in like we can have it now or in the future. And I know that so many of people in the church right now just need to be anchored. And I feel like yeah, I'm just going to come and do that. But we talk about peace. Peace is our anchor, and just nothing will shake us.
Oh, there we go. So what we would like to do is just to reach out a hand. And you know the way that we operate is like we push and we pull. When we're praying for people, we're pushing and we're pulling. So we're sowing and we're reaping at the same time. There's a benefit for those that reap and there's a benefit for those that sow. So right now we just want to release the joy over Gunz right now. I just want to thank you, Father, that there's just such a joy in taking the seed that you put in our hearts and scattering it. And right now our hearts are open to receive that seed. And even if there's, I just feel there's going to be some of the words that are shared are just going to, if we're saying mealies, we're going to start reaping apples. And there's just going to be such a dynamic, creative nature of the word that gets preached, because the Lord's not, the Holy Spirit's not limited. He is wildly creative. So I want to release the wildly creativeness of the Holy Spirit over us right now, and that he would minister into every area of our hearts. And we want to thank you for that, Lord. What a privilege to be under the ministry of the Holy Ghost. What a privilege. And we want to thank your servant, Son, just for his faithfulness. And just for right now, we want to pray a sowing, a reaping as he sows right now. So we bless you, Gunz, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you. We just thank you. You are our VIP honored guest. You're always with us. Holy Spirit, you are so awesome. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is full of his glory. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are now present here in and amongst us. And wherever you are, Lord, we know Jesus is there, the Father is there, heaven is there, angels, cloud of witnesses, spirits of the righteous made perfect. Thank you that, Lord, that we join with heaven right now in your presence. Thank you that we are your your dwelling place. We are your church. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. We just come to sit at your feet. We thank you that you use us as your vessels to come and minister to us. Thank you, Lord, for your words of life. And Lord, we just come to listen to you right now, Holy Spirit. We just give everything to you. We just thank you that you minister life to every person listening right now. Thank you, Jesus.
So, yeah, just I really feel we had a word 20 years ago that Gunce and I are going to talk about the bride and bridegroom. And it's quite interesting because just Gunther's going to be talking on bridal intimacy tonight. And just this week, we just heard that there's this sort of clause that government are wanting to bring in to actually abolish marriage. Isn't that amazing? And we know that's not going to happen. Marriage is so powerful, and marriage is really a picture of of Jesus and his church, of his bride. He's the bridegroom. And so we just seen that right now, it's like there's almost the spotlight on the moment is on this bridal union. And so we really just trusting tonight that there's going to be a real empowering of that bridal love. And I'm so excited that Gunther's sharing about the bride, because he said to me the other day, really sees himself as a bride. And I don't know anyone more of a man than what he is. So he's a good person to talk about being the bride. And so I really believe there's an empowering, because marriage is so empowering. There's nothing like a couple coming together, because there's such a strengthening. And so Christ and his bride, just that strengthening and that empowering of that union that we can participate is just so, so empowering. So I just want to read something to you. Now, I just want you to close your eyes just for a moment and just picture you are the bride, and this is the bridegroom speaking to you. This is Jesus speaking to you. So, the radiant bride, who could ever find a wife like this one? She is a woman of strength and mighty valor. She's full of wisdom. The price paid for her was greater than many jewels. So, we know that this woman is both a picture of a victorious, the virtuous wife, and an incredible allegory of the end-time victorious bride of Christ, full of virtue and grace. And the Hebrew word used to describe this virtuous wife is kayil. The meaning of this word cannot be contained in one English word. It is often used in connection with military prowess. This is a warring wife. It can be translated mighty, wealthy, excellent, full of substance, integrity, and strength, mighty like an army. And it says that the price paid for her was greater than many jewels. And in the footnotes, it talks about her value. The price paid for her was the sacred blood of the Lamb of God, her bridegroom. So Jesus will not be ashamed to display her to the world. It says that the virtuous bride of Christ in the last days will be seeking for only what is pure and righteous in the eyes of her bridegroom, and her delight will be to equip others and help those in need. So, yeah, so I just want to encourage you that, you know, what we've seen more and more is the empowering of that bride, and just the authority that we carry in that awareness of our union, that the fullness of the bride and the bridegroom live in us. And before I hand over to Gunther, I just want to share a quick testimony about, we were ministering in a company last week, and we found this particular company, every time we used to minister in this company, we used to get a lot of opposition, and it was like things were trying to shut us down. And just the night before we were going to this meeting, Gunther and I just stood in agreement and we just took communion and we really just sensed that there was some sort of opposition at this company. And it was so amazing because we went in the next day, this lady walked in and she said to us, "I'm a Sangoma and I really need some coaching." And we were like, okay. And she says, "I'm very gifted and I have incredible authority and powers." And so we said, "Oh, that's wonderful, you know, it's great, let's hear some more." And as she was talking to us, it was so amazing because she'd actually experienced Christianity, but because of the legalism, the hurt that she'd experienced in the church, she went into witchcraft, into ancestral stuff. But as she was speaking, it was like we just had such a love for her, and we actually saw the demonic in her eyes. But because of the love and just the sense of who God is in us, we actually saw her whole face change, and we saw just a surrender in her heart. And she actually said, "I've realized when I actually go into the ancestors, I have a bad feeling, and it's heavy, and I come away feeling awful. But when I go and sit and I meditate and I remember what my gran used to talk about in the church," she said, "this peace comes in my heart." And isn't that amazing? And then we explained to her why that was. And she actually renounced all that stuff that she's been involved with. And she actually received Jesus Christ. And she's totally full on. And she actually, she's a team leader. And she said, "Can I send?" She started sending others in. So we just felt like a lift in that whole thing. And we just seen when we speak into people, we can actually see the demons in their eyes. But like with such a love and such a peace. And so just to encourage all of us, you know, that that union that we participate through the bridal intimacy with God, there's such a carries such an authority. It's deliverance just through love.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. So yeah, the subject, like Trisha's already mentioned, I'd like to speak on living in bridal intimacy with Jesus. For a while, I just really sensed that there was such an emphasis from the Lord on this bridal intimacy. And I think, you know, just knowing the times that we are living in, I think the Lord's, it's just so much on his heart. So we know that, you know, just looking at the news, darkness is covering the earth. And, you know, we're just reminded of Isaiah 60, where it says, you know, that arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And then it says, darkness covers the earth, and dense darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon you. So we're living in, you know, in like scary times, but we're living in exciting times. And so, you know, I really believe, I mean, what we're seeing is darkness is covering the earth. Some of the news, I remember Rodney Hart Brown, beginning of COVID, he just said he'd written some books evidently over the last few years before that. And he said he never dreamt that he would see, you know, the stuff happening that obviously the books were, a lot of them were about end time stuff, you know. And he never dreamt that some of that stuff would actually start happening in his lifetime. And I think the more we're seeing what's going on, it's just happening so quickly. And it's actually quite, if one has one's eyes on those things, it's actually quite scary what's going on in the world. So I've mentioned this before for the last, Nick. So for the last, thank you. So the last 4 years, God's been waking me up like at midnight now about 20 times. And, you know, and each time I have such a strong sense, God just saying, it's midnight. And You probably all know that scripture, Matthew 25, verse 6, that says, at midnight there was a shout, behold, the bridegroom comes. And so I think the last time was in now end of May. He woke me up again, exactly midnight. I just went to Trish with my phone. I said, look, it's midnight. So there's an obvious message from God, you know. So it's midnight. He's saying it's midnight, and the bridegroom is at the door. Go out to meet him. And we know the story of the 10 virgins. 5 were ready, 5 were not ready. And so it's great that he's giving us a warning and saying, this is the time we're living in. So it's actually a very exciting time. So Jesus' return is imminent. You know, it's really imminent. The one night he woke me up one minute to midnight. And I said, what's the significance of that? You know, why 1 minute? And he said, that's how close his return is. And I just, that was in 2018. And I just, as a matter of interest, I just looked at it. What does that work out in times, in the time frame that we sort of know we're living in, 6,000 years after beginning of Adam and Eve? And it works out to about 4 years. I would never, you know, dogmatically say that, but it's close. So which is exciting? It's the most exciting time. It's what we're living for as Christians. The return of Jesus Christ. And I think I've mentioned before Francis Frangipani, a prophet from America. He just had a vision many years ago, and he saw God just telling him about the end times. And he said, from what the Lord showed him, the end time, the coming of the Lord would be, there would be a twofold thing that would happen. And the first would be the actual empowering of the church, the bride. And the second part would be the actual appearing of Christ. Like it says, he'll appear in the clouds and every eye will see him. And he will come like lightning from the east and with the shout of an archangel. So how exciting is that? So those who are living in bridal intimacy. So, you know, we've heard already tonight, you know, there's a lot of scary stuff out there. Those who are living in bridal intimacy with Jesus will not be shaken or grow cold. So God's solution is he wants us in intimacy. You know, it's not a time to be distant from God in our hearts. So it's time for the bride to be ready, living in a first love relationship with the bridegroom Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. So we are on the brink at the moment of what South Africa is calling the third wave of COVID. So, you know, when I heard about that, and I heard a lot of people getting very nervous about it, rightfully so, because it's not an exciting thing to hear about this. But rather than see what the enemy is doing, my heart's always, what are you doing, God? What is, you know, we want, he is our rock of ages. And so whenever things start shaking, God's answer always throughout the ages has been, look to the heavens. Who has created these? In other words, see how big I am in the midst of this shaking. And I love it. I think it's Isaiah 41 where God says, do not look around you in terror and be dismayed. He says, I am the Lord your God. I hold your right hand. And he says, there's nothing to fear. So we do not need to fear like the way the world fears. And just looking at the heavens, you know, I really feel there's a big encouragement in just seeing how big the heavens are. And, you know, I've spoken about this before, but just as a reminder, just how big God is. If we look at the heavens, you know, our nearest galaxy, 2.5 million light years away. That means, so light travels 3.5 times around the Earth in 1 second. So you have to travel for 2.5 million years to get to our nearest galaxy. And so that's Andromeda, and the scientists say there are approximately a million stars in that galaxy. So our sun is our nearest star. It's only 8 minutes away, traveling by light, at the speed of light. And the next nearest star is four light years away. So we can just see, and scientists say there are billions of galaxies out there and possibly trillions. So that just brings things into perspective. So God is so in control. You know, we've got where we stay at the moment, there's a lady who's a domestic servant, and she's really a strong believer, but sometimes they're just shaking their boots because I think they experience maybe even more than we do some of the things that happen when COVID starts manifesting, and, you know, just the taxis and the social distancing and their homes and all that. And sometimes they just lose faith. And I just said to her, I said, COVID is like Satan's dog, you know, and I said, and Satan is God's dog. So that's just putting things in perspective, you know. He can do nothing except what God allows him to do. God is so in control. And so I feel that God is using COVID to mature his church, you know. So he wants a bride. There are two things on his heart. He wants a devoted bride living in first love with him. I really feel that's prominent on his heart at the moment. A devoted bride living in first love with him. And then he wants to manifest his glory through his bride. So the church has been carnal and double-minded. So, you know, throughout the ages, you know, if we look at Bible history, Israel used to just sort of drift away and then come back to God. And I think the church is very much like that. You know, so we start losing hope, you know, and then we start becoming a bit carnal and double-minded. So Jesus wants the bride spiritual and single-minded. So I just wanted to quote a lady called Basilia Schlink, who was a Lutheran. She was actually a nun, but she was born again, full of the Holy Spirit. And they lived in Germany as nuns in like, it's in a place called Darmstadt. And they just they go all over the world, and they just erect like statues and shrines in honor of Jesus. But they live as brides of Christ, and they actually wear rings with Jesus written inside of the ring. Anyway, she wrote a book which is actually quite amazing called My All for Him. And she wrote about 200 books, and so they really live as brides. Tish and I had the privilege of visiting their place once, and it was quite amazing. She just said, her foreword to her book, My All for Him, she said, only one thing is needed. Supremely important today, as possibly never before, is first love for Jesus. Only when we have this love will we be able to bear the times that lie ahead. This was written about maybe 25 years ago. We live in an age of great apostasy and widespread deception. Whose faith is strong enough to stand up under intense trial? Who can endure? Only those who have this first love. Revelation 2:4, the hallmark of the early Christians. Reports tell of the passionate love for Jesus which they faced, with which they faced martyrdom. It was in fact their first love for him that enabled them to embrace suffering for his sake. Only one power is stronger than the power of suffering, the divine life contained in love. God is love. Whenever he pours out his divine life into human hearts, people begin to love him intimately and fervently. And nothing in this world, not even the greatest sufferings or horror, not even martyrdom itself, can quench this divine life, which is immortal beyond the power of death. First love, a most precious gift. First love, the one thing that is needed. The Bible calls this first love, bridal love. So, yeah, I think, you know, whenever the awesome thing about God is whenever he expects something from us, he's already given it to us. So there's nothing we have to do that he hasn't given to us. So I just looked at this first love. What is this first love? And I really believe it's like all of us have experienced Jesus. We're all born again. And, you know, when you first fall in love, And everything is just so amazing. And so talking about first love with Jesus, it's really his first kiss, or your first kiss, you know, is where you experience Jesus, where he actually kisses you and you come spiritually alive, the Holy Spirit. It's a kiss of the Holy Spirit. And it's when you first realized how much Jesus loves you and were overwhelmed by his love. And so, yeah, we know that Jesus says to the church in Laodicea, he says, you've left your first love. And so that sounds a bit fearful. And then he says, if you don't repent, I will come and I'll remove your lampstand. And it sounds almost like he's going to remove our salvation. But, you know, Trish was looking at that the other day, and somebody was just looking at the full meaning of what he means when he says, I'll remove your lampstand. And what this guy discovered that was looking at this is that the lampstand actually signifies busyness. So, you know, in those days they'd have a lampstand and they'd be working or whatever, you know. And so often it's the busyness that distracts us from our first love. So we think we have to toil to make a living. And so we're distracted from our first love. And so a biblical example of that is, I think it's in Hosea chapter 4, where Israel, you know, again, had fallen prey to Baal worship. And they actually were saying, you know, Baal is our God, and Baal is providing for us, and he's providing our food, our clothing, etc. And God said, well, I'm going to take away those things that you think come from Baal. He said, I'll make the doorway of troubling, well, make troubling a doorway back to intimacy with me. And he said, you'll no longer call me Baal, but you'll call me Ishi, my husband. You'll return to your first love. And so that's an example. There was a guy, Bruce, I think his name is, anyway, I've forgotten his name now. He just said for 4 years or so, no, 4 months, God just took all his income away because he wanted him back in first love. And so sometimes God will do those things because he loves us so much and he knows that that we actually need him. So just why is this first love important is because when we're in a first love relationship, we're actually living in intimacy with our bridegroom. And so, you know, as we experience the shaking, you know, like I often think about children, small children, you know, when their parents are around, they're very confident because their parents are their security. And when we have a sense of God's presence, you know, suddenly, you know, we're not, like I said, those who are living in bridal intimacy with Jesus are not going to fear or be shaken or fall away. So what Jesus, he allows the shaking to get us back to first love because he knows that he's our only true security. You know, so the things that we trust in are all, other things that we trust in are all shakable, but he's unshakable. So he's our true circumstance. So, you know, all the circumstances that we trust in are shakable. And I've mentioned before, you know, Steve Jobs, the founder of Apple, at 56 years old, a billionaire, and, you know, great status in the world, and just so successful, suddenly he gets terminal cancer. And, you know, when he looks at that and he looks at his life and all his success, and his conclusion is that my life is actually meaningless. You know, so I think we're just realizing, you know, that Jesus is our only stability. And we've found at the moment, Trish was just referring to coaching and companies, that, you know, we're coaching in the one company, it's quite a high-profile company, and most of the Most of the employees are actually graduates, and but we find so many of them are shaking with, you know, all the stuff going on in the world. And, you know, when we speak to them, we just speak about, you know, the normal, our normal outlook on life is, you know, that that we find our identity through, you know, how many degrees have you got, you know, how successful are you in life, you know, what is your profile in your company, and what car do you drive, where do you live, you know, how much money have you got in the bank. But all those things are shakeable. And we're finding people, graduates, you know, that are high positions in the company are actually having panic attacks. You know, just all the stuff that's happening. Suddenly, all the stuff that used to be so secure is no longer seems secure. So the stuff that they trusted in. So, you know, and then when we say to them, the only thing that, so we speak to people across, you know, different faiths. And so we can't be just dogmatic like Christianity is the only way. But God's given us a clever way to approach it. And what we do is we just say, there's only one Father. There's only one God. We all come from Him, and they actually all agree with that. And then we say, irrespective of your faith, we all come from Him. But then we say, well, but we are of the Christian faith. And we believe God sent His only Son to reconcile us back to Himself. And through the cross, He has fully forgiven us. And He loves us unconditionally. And so He loves you unconditionally, and you are fully forgiven. And He's with you. And you don't need to live your life fearful every day and concerned about the future, because He holds your future. And what we encourage, and that's the way we live our lives, is every day just to give every one of our cares to God. And just do what the Holy Spirit tells us to do. And that really simplifies life so much. And so it's really living our lives centered in Christ, centered in God, and not double-minded. So where we give every care, every circumstance to God, and we just live by the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And just now I'm going to just play this clip on Liz Wright speaking to Eric Gilmore. And yeah, amazing. So as I said, so God is drawing His bride to first love. But at the same time, you know, He's already provided everything we need to come back to first love. You know, He's totally in love with us. And so there's nothing we have to do. He's already fully in love with us, and He's provided people like this. That's actually amazing. People like, they've got something called International Mentoring Company or something like that, where they're just actually focusing on getting the bride back to first love. And it's really very good to listen to. So you'll hear some of it tonight. So if we look at Song of Songs, Trish was reading of Song of Songs there, which really is a story of the king and the Shulamite. And I think also just, you know, I just felt that the Chosen series, for those of you that have listened to The Chosen, it's just so amazing how God is using that also just to show us His unconditional love. So He's really drawing His bride to intimacy so that we will be strong in the midst of the shaking. So examples of His unconditional love is like Mary Magdalene, you know, in The Chosen. It so beautifully depicts that, or the woman at the well, you know, where Jesus is just showing His unconditional love. And Liz Wright just interviewed Brian Simmons, and you've often spoken about The Passion, how amazing it is. The Passion Translation, the author of The Passion Translation. And she just asked Brian Simmons, so for the first 1700 years, the Song of Songs was very central in the church. So it was a central focus in the church. And she just asked, you know, why was that? and you know, there were a lot of writings about that, and he just mentioned that, well, that's first of all the Song of Songs, or the Song of Solomon, as it's also called, is right in the center of the Bible, because it is the central theme of the Bible, because it's God's love relationship with us. So he's in love with us. And he just also mentioned that, just that the last words of Jesus on the cross, you know, before he died, was actually "my bride." The Aramaic word. How amazing is that? So he did it all for us. He did it for his bride. So he is totally in love with us. And he's just drawing us at the moment. So we just have to. So tonight, when we listen to this, it's just such a beautiful, just as they share, it's just such a beautiful, what they share just shows us how easy God has made us to come back to our first love. And to come into that. So as I said, the first love is really coming back into realizing how much Jesus loves us. So it's not like we have to love Jesus. You know, the Bible says we love him because he first loved us. But it's actually how much he loves us. So, you know, if you can think back when you first got born again, it was actually this amazing experience of like, there's this God who loves me. You know, Trish just shared the other day, some meeting, she just shared Romans 8:28, and both of us actually got that. We were born again in different times, didn't know each other, but we both, it was the first scripture that we got when we got born again. So we went, you know, like Trish, after she had this her experience with God, she went home and she opened the Bible, and there the scripture, the Spirit witnesses with your spirit, assuring you that you are a child of God, that God is your Father and you're a child of God. And I had exactly the same scripture. So God is just drawing us back to first love. He wants us to know how much he loves us. Isn't that amazing? So it's not, often we've thought, you know, I've got to love God. And like, you know, everything, you know, the law, the whole purpose of the law or anything was meant to bring us to Christ. So even like it says in 2 Corinthians 3:15, it says, up till now, whenever the law is read, a veil lies before their eyes. So even when we read scriptures and we think, I've got to do this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, entire being, and we think, but I can't do that. You know, how can I do that? But it says, whenever anybody turns to the Lord, the veil is stripped away. So it's as we turn to Jesus. So Jesus is, he's our all. He's everything we need. So it's actually just drawing us back to realizing we need him. He's our all sufficiency. And even, you know, another, so we won't have time tonight for that, but another clip where Eric speaks to, Liz Wright speaks to Eric, they just speak about our responsibilities in this world. And they just speak about, Eric just says that he's realized that God wants to even give our, he wants us to even give our responsibility to him. So in other words, it's not like serving Jesus, but we're also responsible. Everything, he wants to be the center of our life. And as we just surrender everything to him every day, our children, our grandchildren, if you've got grandchildren, okay? Everything, you surrender, your businesses, your finances, your health. As you surrender, we find this awesome God who not only is he ruling the universe, but he's also fully in control of your life, and he has an awesome plan for every second. Isn't that amazing? So, you know, we find as we speak to Muslims, Hindus, they come to us like, we need this, you know. Our lives aren't working. So it was amazing. So Jesus, yeah. So the whole story of Song of Songs is really a story of the bridegroom drawing and wooing his bride until she's fully devoted to him. So if you think about it, it starts off with, draw me, kiss me with the kisses of your mouth. So in other words, of ourselves, there's nothing we can do. He's got to initiate this love, this romance. So we can only say, draw me, kiss me. And honestly, I've found, you know, as I've done that, just realizing, you know, sometimes like we just feel distant from God and we're not feeling in first love with Him. But as we just say, draw me, kiss me, you know, it's actually the Holy Spirit, those kisses of the Holy Spirit is just making us aware of how much Jesus loves us. You know, so I just want to encourage you, just do that, you know, get with God on your own and, you know, and just allow the Holy Spirit to just draw you into that intimacy. So the whole story of Song of Solomon, if you think about it, the bride starts off, or the Shulamite starts off saying, I'm so dark, you know, she's feeling so unworthy. At the end, towards the end of the Bible, she says, I'm my beloved is mine, you know. And she's so confident in His love. And so, yeah. So Jesus, the bridegroom king, is always drawing us His bride with His love. If we are not in love with Him, what's missing is the kissing. So we need intimate contact with God. The same as, you know, you can imagine, ladies especially, but guys too, you know, when you have your first kiss from a guy, you know, it's just like, I mean, a guy that you like. You know, you're just in love. You're in love, you know. And so we need those kisses from Jesus to show us. And the Holy Spirit is the go-between. He's the instrument through which we can have that relationship. Yeah, so Jesus will draw us until we completely surrender to Him and live only for Him. So, yeah, Nick, if you can, we're going to, yes, perfect place. Thank you. So if you just listen with your hearts, what the topic is, yeah, they're talking about lovesick, being lovesick. Before you started, just my own experience, I went through a very tough time once. I was in a broken marriage experience where my ex-wife was involved with another guy, and for 3 years, God said to me, I don't want you to divorce her. I want to teach you about my love. So, yeah, I think in that time, I just got to know the love of Jesus, how amazing His love is. And the one day I'd go for runs and I just for a jog and then just spend time on a school field, and I had two little kids that I was just bringing up to know the Lord, and I had such times the Lord just used that time where I was so broken to bring me into such an intimacy. And so, you know, Song of Solomon also talks about that. There's almost like seasons in our life where God draws us. And sometimes we need to remember those seasons. And so he took me through that this last week where it just says, I will remember your love, which is better than wine. And so we sometimes... I take my two little kids with us. We had a farm, my parents' farm up northern Natal. And Jesus just took, he brought me into a place where I was so overwhelmed with His love that I was living in this cocoon of His love. And sometimes I was like, I was lovesick. I lost my appetite for everything because I just was so in love with Him. And like, because... You know, I'd do crazy things. I'd walk into a room and the whole room would be just this perfume, His presence. He was just like wooing me. And or my own home sometimes, you know, I'd be facing this horrible thing of my ex-wife being involved with actually five different times, about five different guys. And it was so horrible, and the prospect of possibly losing my kids. And I'd get home and I'd come to my bedroom and my whole room was just like this fragrance, this beautiful presence of Jesus. And one day I was coming back, you know, just from a run, and I was just so overwhelmed with his love for me. I just said, Jesus, you cannot love me this much. This is impossible. I literally felt I was like the only person that he loved on this planet. He was like fully devoted to me. So I'm just saying that to whet your appetite. So he loves every one of us like that. He's this amazing lover. I often used to think, but you know, I've got things to do. I've got to sleep, you know. And he was just like, I'll just be awake, my, you know, like Song of Solomon also speaks about that. He says, I went to bed, but my heart stayed awake, you know. I couldn't sleep. I was just in love, you know. So I'm excited because I really believe he's drawing us back to that first love, you know. And yeah, so Nick, let me play that. You know, that time period that I spoke about, I was working as a computer IT professional, but like I had the presence of God or an awareness of God's presence all the time, because I was so in that first love, in that intimacy, I was so aware of God's love for me that it didn't matter what I was busy with, my heart was actually connected to God. And so we really need that, but only he can initiate it and only he can maintain that. So yeah, just recently, just I think I mentioned some time ago. No, I don't think I've. Maybe. Anyway, there was this in the midst of COVID last year, 2020. We were staying up in Belita, and this MSC cruise liner just came and parked itself right in front of us. And it just stood there for months, literally months, because they couldn't use it because of COVID. Maybe some of you are aware of it, that MSC cruise line, I think it's a big cruise ship, maybe about 3,500, 4,000 people. So it's a big cruise liner. So it was right in front of us. And at the same time, I just felt God saying, it was like prophetic. He was like drawing us, like he was saying, come away with me. You know, and you know that song Stephanie Frizzell sings that we're going to play it just now. So it was like a drawing, God just saying, come away with me, I've got this amazing life for you. So it's not meaning, doesn't mean we're not going to be responsible or work, but that he wants to be in the center of whatever we do. He wants to be our all. He wants to be our everything. And so often we were just thinking, well, how do we do this, you know? At that time, there was no traveling, nothing, but it's really a heart thing. So it's not necessarily, doesn't mean, you know, you have to get on a boat or an aeroplane. It's actually, he's talking about a lifestyle of him being the center of your life. Then a bit, you know, about 2 weeks ago or so, we saw this other MSC, but it wasn't a cruise liner, it was a cargo ship, and was also parked right in front of us. And it was like God was saying to us, well, you have a choice. Either you're going to toil, or you're going to put me in the center of your life and have a life of absolute adventure with me. So he literally showed me, like, he has this roller coaster adventure life of us, for us. You know, like you can imagine if I said to a lady the other day, I said, imagine if Bill Gates comes and says, I'm in love with you and, you know, I'm going to marry you and, well, your life is going to be an adventure, you know. And we have somebody who's far more wealthy than Bill Gates and far more wonderful, Jesus Christ, and he's in love with us. We are his bride and he's come to live right inside of us. So, yeah, to whet your appetites more, you know, I've for the last since I experienced this, what I've mentioned, where, you know, I went through 3 years of like a difficult time, God's been singing like love songs to me. And, you know, I just wake up during the night and he's singing a love song. And they're often secular songs, but they're always very much what he's saying to me. And I'm always amazed when I look at the words, how, you know, how he really thinks about things. It's so pertinent. It's so relevant. It's so his heart for me at that time. And so I'll just give you some examples. Like there's a song, that old song, "I'll take you to the dance and I'll take you to the show. I'll take you to the wedding and wherever you want to go, as long as I can just be there with you. I just want to be exclusively yours." So I just wake up and he's singing the song to me, you know. And so that other one that I've mentioned, "Come away with me," and he says, "It's going to be wild. It's going to be full of me, full of Jesus." And another song, sometimes we get, you know, we go a little bit, we get a bit distracted, and then he sometimes has sung this song to me once or twice, "Miss You Like Crazy," you know, or the BG song, "You Don't Know What It's Like to Love Somebody the Way I Love You." Like, you know, he really loves us like that, every one of us. So, yeah, or the other one, "Oh, he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I'm his own. And just recently, he sung this song to me, "All day I'm walking in a dream. I'm thinking of you constantly." So what a lover. How amazing is he? And another one, "There's so much I want to say to you and there's so little time." Like he just wants to communicate with us. Like I said, sometimes I think he's totally irresponsible as far as he doesn't think we've got anything else to do but just be in love with him. So I just wanted to... Amazing. Thank you. Awesome. Hopefully that's given you a bit of whet your appetite for a love relationship with Jesus. He's the greatest lover ever. Yeah. Jesus, we just thank you that you love us so much. Thank you that you demonstrated your love to us once and for all by going to the cross for the joy set before you. You endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just pray, Lord Jesus, just kiss every one of us awake here. You are the bridegroom lover. Every love story is about you. Every fragrance is about you. Every song is about you. Every person is about you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you are in love with every person here. And like that BG song said, "What could I do if it's not about you?" Thank you, Lord, that every one of us is so important to you, that you are longing for a love relationship with everyone. Every one of us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And if we have you, you are our circumstance. We are fearless. No matter whether the earth be shaken, the mountains fall into the sea, if we have your presence, we need fear nothing. Because you are the creator of heaven and earth. You are the owner of the universe. You hold the stars. Jesus, we just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you just shine your light into every one of our hearts and just reveal heaven's perspective, how you see us, how much you love us. Thank you, Jesus.
So I just sensed maybe if Anne could facilitate or he's happy, we could do a little fire tunnel. Oh, not. Okay. Well, we'll just play some music then. Okay. Just for people to receive. Okay. But I just felt like just one or two words for people here. So I'm just going to share them. Just Andrea, for you, I just had a picture of, I just saw like this felt that had just been burnt, and there was a lot of, it been like a fire, like so many things had just been burnt. But then I saw, it was like almost if you look at the edge of the cliff, suddenly the view of that whole cliff had been opened up, and it's like you could see this whole expanse of the cliff. And I felt like something.